6:41 and time for us to continue the discussion, excuse me, on indemnity. Mary and Ottery, good morning.
Good morning, Rafiwe.
How are you doing? What are your thoughts?
Rafiwe, in my opinion, I feel that an indemnity form gives a lot of information regarding the person going on vacation in terms of personal details, contact numbers in the event of a happening, and also dietary requirements.
Okay.
But what I feel is that form shouldn't take over that you're handing your child entirely over to the responsibility of the organization.
All right.
I feel that the organizations are not taking responsibility because they don't have the correct logistics in place. When there is a water activity, you need to have a lifeguard on duty no matter what. You need life jackets. You need to do your head counts periodically.
I would say so.
That is where the school has failed.
I would agree with you, Mary. The problem we're going to face now as they undertake this legal action is, will the school say this is our failure, or will they say it's the resort's failure? Like, I think that the buck stops with the person I handed my child to, and that's the school. And that the school's job is then to ensure that the resort meets the requirements and the expectations that indemnity form created for me as a parent.
But I feel as a person that do organize camps, you need to inquire at the resort, what do you offer?
Yes, exactly.
And if you offer a water sport, what are the safety requirements?
Exactly.
Does that mean I have to bring my own life jackets in? What do I need to do?
And that's the school that you're talking about when you say I, right?
Yes, the
exactly.
School responsibility, the association that's planning the camp, the outing.
Yeah, I would tend to agree very, very strongly with you, Mary. Are you do you have kids that you send off to school?
Well, my kids, they were at school at university now, but
okay.
I belong to a scouting organization where we have definite guidelines and structures in place.
Mm.
And if you haven't done your training to take children on an outing, then you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to. Yeah.
All right. Mary, thank you very much for that view. That's Mary and Ottery being very firm there about actually requiring the school to take on the full responsibility, and I tend to agree with her. Susanna earlier on in Stellenbosch was saying that she used to add her own handwritten clause after the indemnity form. Teresa saying via WhatsApp, I can't speak for all teachers, but a teacher wouldn't respond to the postscript about being negligent because it is offensive to point this out to someone who fully understands the burden of responsibility that they hold. But do they, Teresa? Do they fully understand? In this particular case, it doesn't seem that clear that they fully understand the responsibility that they hold, which is why I can understand why Susanna would do that. I'm not sure. Someone else saying correct the buck stops with the school via WhatsApp. Thanks very much for your view. 6:44. We're going to continue with some of our conversation. As I mentioned, the key focus at WEF in Davos thematically is on climate and sustainability, just trying to find the different ways in which we can be better stakeholders, as we discussed the other day with that economic strategist, be better stakeholders. It's very similar to what we saw from Business Roundtable, which I mentioned to you last year, the 180 or so CEOs of US companies who have promised to put shareholding still a priority, but one of five now, as opposed to the lead priority. And amongst those, of course, is how businesses operate in their own environment and retain sustainability within that environment amongst their workers, their clientele, and of course, the physical environment. One such corporation is Microsoft. Microsoft has not just gone as far as what many companies have done, which is to reduce their carbon footprint or become carbon neutral. They've actually said they're going to be carbon negative by 2030. We want to understand what that means and how that lightens the load on our emissions in the world. Cliff Davitt is Chief Technology Officer and co-founder of Dexterity Digital and will join me shortly.
You're with Cape Talk.
This is Refilwe Maloto on Breakfast.
Cliff, welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe. How are you today?
Good morning, Refilwe. Thank you for having me. Yes, I'm fine, and you?
Excellent. I'm very excited for the reduction in carbon emissions from Microsoft. What does this mean practically? We always seem to think of carbon emissions as something that comes from either manufacturers or the emissions of actual, dirty gas.
Yes. No, it's a very interesting statement, and I think it's incredibly exciting and very responsible on their part. You know, Sofri, as you rightly said, kind of think about carbon emissions as coming from heavy industry. You know, you used to have the vision of smokestacks spilling out massive amounts of carbon. But the reality is that many Sofri businesses, many large tech businesses these days, especially the big guys, you know, Microsoft, Amazon, and Google, are moving very quickly into being data center providers. And
right.
Data centers, by their definition, are huge amounts of computers in these very large buildings. And we're talking massive amounts. And those computers and those data systems, in essence, use a lot of energy. And so even more so as time and people understanding where the source of carbon pollution comes from, they're looking at many of these large tech providers and saying, you have a massive responsibility in not just the energy you create, but as you said before we started talking, the employees and the travel that they have and the carbon footprint
right.
that everybody has getting on airplanes, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, it's absolutely a myth to think that just because you're in the software business, you're not producing carbon. And I think, you know, big kudos to Microsoft for tipping their hat to this.
And how?
Sorry, no, I mean, this is important. Again, because we can't see the smoke, right? It's difficult for us to hold them accountable. How manageable is it to get to carbon negativity in 10 years for a company that emits that much carbon?
Yeah, it certainly is an achievable thing, and they've laid out a very detailed plan on how they will get there. Mm. You know, I think it starts with, and if you look at sort of the source of carbon in general in on our planet, it really does stem from industrialization. And most people say that the large amounts of carbon have come since sort of the mid-1950s. So it is directly proportional in many ways to the GDP of a country. If you plot carbon emissions in the GDP, there is a very strong correlation.
Mm.
But certainly, it is an achievable thing. It requires a lot of investment, and they've structured a very detailed plan on how they achieve to get there. You know, starting with the employees, starting and looking at what the own indirect emissions are, as they call them. So, what is the stuff that the employees are using? What are the foods that they're using? What are they using to heat the people?
Right.
Etc. But the big one, obviously, is as we talked about, is in the data centers. And there they obviously have access to clean power, whether it's through hydroelectric or whether it's through solar. And some of them do very clever things. You know, they build their data centers in very cold countries so that they don't have to pay for cooling, where they can literally just cool natural air. So it takes a lot of planning and it takes a lot of thinking. But with that sort of level of planning and responsibility, it certainly is achievable.
So, I mean, are we seeing any responses from other tech companies saying, okay, you know what, that's actually a really impressive promise to make? I know Amazon has got huge data centers here in Cape Town.
Not directly. I mean, they've all talked about it over time. In fact, Microsoft talked about this. Steve Ballmer talked about it when he was still CEO over 10 years ago.
Mm.
I think the big thing here is that Microsoft's made a very public statement to be net zero. So to be carbon neutral by 2030, that'd be net zero by 2050, which basically means that not only will they stop producing net carbon, but they will actually remove the entire footprint of the company on the planet. And I think
sure.
that is a huge statement, because it's basically saying we are so responsible that we're going to take back what we've put into the atmosphere. And what I really like about their statement is they're not just going to do it. You know, there's ways to be neutral by, you know, effectively offsetting your carbon footprint by paying for it. You're paying other industries to plant trees or other industries to be cleaner. What they're saying is they're directly going to fund research that helps figure out how we remove carbon from the atmosphere. And I think that's a very, very big statement, because in many ways we know we have a huge problem, but the technology to deal with it is honestly still not quite well understood, certainly at the volumes. There's a lot of research being done on how to remove carbon from the atmosphere, but if you read the literature, many people say that we understand the gravity of the problem, but we still don't have the technology to deal with it. And what I really like, as I said, is that they're tipping their hat to that and saying, okay, let's figure out what the solution is, and we're directly going to put $1 billion behind dealing with that.
Brilliant stuff. Very much looking forward to seeing them offset their externalities. Cliff David, been so helpful. Your Chief Technology Officer and co-founder of Dexterity Digital and an alum of Microsoft yourself. Thank you again for joining us on Breakfast with Refilwe.